seen me either, amen. So, but I remember coming through years ago as a missionary to Africa, and your church took us on years ago, and we went to the mission field of Africa. We were 2.5 years on deputation and 2.5 years on the mission field, and as a result, I came off the field because of health issues that I still struggle with today. And I've been in evangelism 6 years this month now, by the grace of God, and your pastor has been having me in off and on through the years, and it's a blessing. I remember when we first came through, how hospitable your pastor was. We had a gap in our meetings as a missionary, and your church put us up at the hotel that's right across from the Super Kmart for a week, and it's a really nice hotel there. So I just want to say thanks, and I remember the times that he would go out of town or something, he'd let us stay at his house, and we used his pool in the back, and that was a blessing, amen. And then his son was going to the Congo, and they had an apartment, and they were on furlough or deputation and let us stay there. So it was a blessing to come through here and preach. My wife's a Buckeye. She's from Toledo, and we met down at Bible school at Pensacola, Florida, and I'm from Philadelphia, and I got saved in Germany and called to preach over there in the Army, and then so the Lord's been with us now. We've been in the ministry, my wife and I, since November of 2000, so almost 12 years. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I love you. Thank you for being very good to me and meeting my needs and hearing my prayers. And thank you, God, for this church, Lord, getting this big building. Lord, it's a blessing to see how you provided for this church through the years. And Lord, I know, God, there's no doubt in my mind the battles that the pastor's gone through, and Lord, the people here in this church and the things they've seen, the heartaches and the disappointments. But Lord, the blessing of this big building, Lord, and God, to see how you worked it out. Lord, I pray for your blessings upon this church. Lord, we pray for this church. We pray for the pastor's family and ministry. We pray for the people here. And Lord, I'm just glad to see, Lord, that you've answered prayer through the years for them. And Lord, I do pray that you please fill me with the Spirit of God. Help me to have liberty, Lord. Help me to make sense. Help me to be a blessing to your people. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, if you would turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to bring to your attention something that I see that's severely lacking. I'm from an Italian family, and from Philadelphia. My family still lives in Italy. I have family that lives in Italy, and I have family that lives in Philadelphia. And my mother is like 70 years old this September. She had me late in life, but she was raised old school. She raised me very old school. For example, when someone comes into a room that's an elderly person, you stood up. When there was no room for a person to sit down, if they were older than you, you got up and you gave them the seat. There was just some common courtesy things that I learned as a young man, even though my mother's lost. There was some good ethics, And I see some things that are lacking today in our generation. I see my generation, I'm 37 years old and younger, that's absolutely atrocious. Like holding a door open for a crippled person. You can watch someone get the door slammed in their face. Nobody takes out time to look out for one another. Are you with me this morning? And so look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And let's look at verse 9. It says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And I want to bring to your attention a key word in that verse right there. If you can see what it is and guess what it is. Do you see it? It's a key word in that verse 9. Hospitality. Hospitality has been the act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward. It's to welcome guests with warmth and generosity. Now, as a church, what happens is when you start off small, and I've been in over 200 churches, I don't claim to know it all, okay? I have a lot to learn. I have not arrived or attained any way. But I can tell you that sometimes as a church grows in its size, the hospitality leaves. Becomes more of a business and more of a clique, and the family friendliness of the church. I have had pastors tell me this through the years. I don't know if this is the state of this church. Your pastor going to give me a list of people who to look at, what to preach. Like an Italian, I don't know anything. I don't know nothing, okay? So when I come here, just give it that the Lord has a message for you, amen? But as a church, I've heard pastors tell me that there's something about the small church they were in. When they move to a bigger church, they lose that friendliness, that warmth, that family-like feature. There's something that happens, and they don't want to lose it. I had a guy just tell me that in South Carolina. his church is busting at the seams. They need to get a bigger building. And so they're like, well, you know, I hope we never lose that. I've seen people lose that. Well, there are many examples in the Bible of people who showed hospitality. You can write the references down for the sake of time. Abraham showed hospitality to God and the angels there in Genesis chapter 18, verses 3 through 8. He opened up his tent for God to show up. Jethro showed hospitality to Moses in Exodus chapter 2, verse 20. When the daughters came back quickly, Jethro, the father, said, hey, how is it that you come back so soon? And then Jethro said this. He says, and he sent to his orders, and where is he? But they said, hey, a guy rolled back the stone from the well so that we can have water and we can get our job done quickly. He said, why is it that he have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. He wanted to show some hospitality. There's many examples in the Bible. Nehemiah showed hospitality. In Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 17, moreover, he says, there were at my table. Now, I know people get overwhelmed. Oh, I'm going to have a family of five over, or six over, or seven over, or eight over. Here he says, moreover, there were at my table and 150 of the Jews and rulers. I mean, that guy was definitely given hospitality. I have 150 people over, right? And then Job showed hospitality. The book of Job, chapter 31, verse 32, he said, a stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. Lydia, the first convert in Macedonia there, in Acts chapter 16, verse 15, and when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So there's many examples in the Bible that we can go on and on and on talking about. But for the sake of time, I just want to give you a few things about hospitality. And there's a big difference between entertaining someone and showing hospitality. For example, entertaining says this: I want to impress you with my home, my clever decorating, and my cooking. Ever been to someone's house where it looks too nice to touch? I mean, you go in and you're like afraid to sit on something. You got to ask, can I sit on the chair? You know what I mean? hospitality has a different attitude. Hospitality says, this home is a gift from my master. I use it as he desires. That's a big difference. Entertaining subtly declares, this home is an expression of my personality. Look, please, and admire. Hospitality whispers, what is mine is yours. So I just want to give you a few things about some things that happened in people's homes years ago. And I just want to give you some things about hospitality. And the title of this Sunday school lesson, message, or however you want to look at it, is just make yourself at home. Just make yourself at home. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 4 again in verse 9. First thing I want to say about hospitality, number one, is you're commanded to show hospitality. You're commanded to show hospitality. He says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. It's commanded by the Lord, and it's a commandment for you to show hospitality. And even though hospitality may come natural for some, and I know it doesn't come natural for all, we're all commanded to do it. And this verse is not an option. It's a command from the Lord for you to show hospitality. And time again, the Word of God, God commands us and exhorts us, encourages us to show hospitality. We're commanded in the book of Romans. You can look at the book of Romans and Romans chapter 12. We're commanded in Romans chapter 12, verse 13. He's in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given the hospitality. That means you're to give yourself over to it. You're to be sold out, committed, and dedicated to being hospitable towards others because God commanded you. And again, Paul mentions this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 2. He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So we're commanded to show some hospitality. And we're commanded to show it to the following people. We're commanded to show it to strangers. You say, what are you getting at? Do you remember what Jesus Christ said? Now, I, brethren, I'm dispensational, okay? Just relax. But I like to still use things out of Paul's epistles. Amen? I like to use things that are still in the Gospels, if that's okay. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I like this where he says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 35, in concerning entertaining strangers, he says, for I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. Now, I know doctrinally what it's for, but it's still good. He said, I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. So just remember, The next time you show hospitality to a stranger, you're doing it to Jesus. Let's not rightly divide this verse out, okay? When you show kindness to someone, you're doing it as unto the Lord. All right, here's another example. You're to show it not only to strangers, but you're to show it to those who are stricken with poverty. Stricken with poverty. You know, there are some people out there that are poor. I'm all for helping the poor, by the way. I'm not for helping the lazy. And there's a big difference there. And in Luke chapter 14, I know it's a parable in verses 13 through 14, but the Lord makes a very good, significant thing for us to take heed to. He said, but when thou make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. Why? They cannot recompense thee. The Lord goes, you want to be blessed? You take care of the poor. In South Africa, we had to do that with some people. Some people were mooches. We learned the hard way. Some of them were genuinely poor. And we took care of them. We helped them. And the Lord says that you'll be blessed when you show hospitality to those who cannot pay you back. There's a pastor in Wooster, Ohio. And he said his son used to do this when he was a teenager. He used to find homeless people on the street. And he'd bring them back to the house and say, Mom, Dad, I got someone here. And they'd be feeding people that stink. I mean, people that you wouldn't want to have anything to do with, like vomit dried on them and urine smell. He'd have them in the house and he'd witness to them and give them the gospel. See, we got so far back, we're so far from that anymore. I mean, from real true Christianity. Hey, we know how to rightly divide. And, yeah, we're King James Bible believers, but at the same time, some of the most meanest people you can meet is King James premillennial independent Baptist. Amen? Amen. All right, now here's another example. We're to show hospitality to the saints. To the saints. Distributing to the necessity of saints, it says in Romans 12:13, as I quoted to you earlier, given the hospitality. There's a pastor I know that I preach for just about every year, and he's out in Missouri. And he said, Brother Brian, he says, listen, he's old school as well, and even his 40s. His mentality is different than what today's generation is. He said, I went over to this church member's house, a family in his church that are members of the church. He said, I went over there and I sat there for an hour. Not one time when I went over to talk with them about some issues they had, did they offer me one glass of water. Isn't that messed up? When I was growing up, my mother made good sauce. You know, we call it gravy, you know, pasta sauce, you know. And I know it depends on where you're at. The gravy is like biscuits and gravy. I'm talking about this is different. This is like real pasta sauce with the sausage and meatballs to sit there for like 4 hours and permeate the house. Well, people would come over. And make a long story short, my mother would say, hey, why don't you have a meat? Our house was always open. And even though we were lost, we still have some decency about ourselves. Amen? As a Christian, I wonder when people come over to your house, is it like, close the blinds? Here's another example. You're to show hospitality to those who are your staunch enemies. Isn't it easier to show it to the saints than it is to your staunch enemies? So where do you get that at? See, here's what happened. In our King James Bible believing camp, we have some groups, and this is what it is. Give us something deep and give us something doctrinal. Because deep and doctrinal does not require sacrifice. What it does is it makes your head this big so you got to turn in sideways when you come to the church. Right? But when you talk about something practical, then that's where it hurts, right? So what about, I want to know that. No, how about this? How about showing hospitality to your staunch enemies? That's high ground. That's the kind of person you see and you just don't like. So how do you know when they're your enemy? Well, two ways. Number one, when they get a blessing and you're angry about it, they're your enemy. Or they have something happen bad to them and you go, they got what they deserve. That's how you know they're your enemy. So in Romans chapter 12, it's a good chapter. Whole chapter of Romans 12, you can probably preach for a year on. There's a lot of good nuggets in it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 20, he says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's giving hospitality, giving water and food. Here's another example. You're not only commanded to show the word of God, hospitality in the word of God to strangers and stricken with poverty and saints and your staunch enemies, but number two, look at it again in 1 Peter chapter 4. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 9, it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. about grudging. So what does that mean? Do it cheerfully. Do it cheerfully. You can show hospitality. You can really do it if you're forced to, with a grudging spirit or cheerful spirit. You know what's really funny? When you're a parent, you know what you want your kids to do? When you tell them to do something? You know what you expected them to do? Smile about it and do it right away, right? And the Lord says about you, you're his children. And he goes, you know what? Have a good attitude about it. Be cheerful about it. God's will is that all of us open our homes with a good attitude, a cheerful attitude, a glad and cheerful spirit. Zacchaeus, I know the context there, but he had a great attitude. He had a really great attitude about the Lord coming to his house. In Luke chapter 19, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, Zacchaeus, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down. And I want to bring your attention to this in Luke chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, and received him joyfully. Boy, that's a good spirit to have. That's a really good attitude to have. You know what Zacchaeus did not do? He did not make excuses on why he can't receive the Lord over. He did it willfully and joyfully, and the Lord came into his home. I believe that when you open your home, spiritually speaking, when you open your home to minister to others, that the Lord will show up. I believe the Lord will bless you. I want to ask you this morning, do you welcome people into your church, and do you welcome people into your house with a smiling attitude, a joyful spirit, a joyful attitude? When they come in, do they look at you like this? You know, there are people that come to church. It's like, man, you want to give them Prozac at the door, you know? They come in and they're like, like a scowl. You know what I mean? Like always miserable. I mean, hasn't the Lord been good to you? I mean, is there anything to be happy about and grateful for? I mean, look how much the Lord's blessed you. Whatever you're going through is still better than going to hell. There's always something to smile about. One person said, it's a sin against hospitality to open your doors and shut up your countenance. Come into our house. I'll give you some stories about that later on. I've had those situations. Look at Luke chapter 5. Look at Luke chapter 5. Look at Luke chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. In Luke chapter 5, verses 29 through 30, you're going to see something about a Pharisee. Now, spiritually applying this, he's not cheerful. Pharisees are never cheerful. They're critical. They're just grumps. You know, they're irritable. They're critical of others. They're never hospitable around others. See, how do you know that? Luke chapter 5, verse 29, the Levi, that's the publican, Matthew, the tax collector that everybody hated, right? Made him a great feast in his own house, made the Lord a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat with them. But notice what he says, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? I mean, what a rotten attitude. I mean, this guy's having people over, and all of a sudden he's going to start criticizing everybody. Isn't that messed up? Have you ever been over to someone's house and someone starts insulting you in the house? And you're like, what is this? I mean, I came over not to be insulted or be challenged or be fought. And there are people like that. It's critical, plain critical. Have you ever wondered why some people have an attitude about making you feel welcomed in their home? Well, let me give you a few reasons why I believe people are irritable, why people are fussy, why they have a bad attitude about having people in their homes. Give you a few reasons. Letter A, it interrupts their plans. It interrupts their plans. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are busy? Anybody busy here? If you're not busy, I have a big fifth wheel you can help wash. Amen. Listen, we're all busy, right? You all have things to do. And you cannot take out the time possibly to invite someone over because that would cramp your lifestyle. You got a lot on your plate. Have you ever heard someone say this before? I just don't have the time to entertain someone right now. Have you heard someone say that? Have you ever said that? The young people one time, there was a young married couple, they invited their elderly pastor for Sunday dinner. And while they were in the kitchen preparing the meal, the minister asked their son what they're having. Goat, goat, the little boy replied. Goat, replied the startled preacher. He said, are you sure about that? Yep, said the youngster. I heard Dad say to Mom today, it's just as good as any to have the old goat over for dinner. You know, that's how some people are. Yeah, we'll have them over, you know, we'll do it and all that. We'll just get them out of our hair. You know, we already promised. We feel obligated because they had us over. We'll have them over. Let's just do it anyway. That's not a cheerful spirit. Here's another one. Not only it interrupts your plans, letter B, it invades your privacy. It invades your privacy. Don't you like your privacy? When you go home, you got your special pajamas on with the holes in them, right? And the slippers that the toe sticks through. And you got your privacy. You like, you know, dressing comfortable. I understand that. You enjoy it. And some people just do not want anyone in their home. Bottom line, it's just they don't want you in the home. And that's not a good attitude to have. But ever notice what happened? Here's the thing about being up north. And I'm from the north. You go to historic areas, historic towns. And you see the old big houses, the ones that fit like 15 kids, you know, and three stories high and about, you know, 10 bedrooms and big, big porches around. Did you ever notice today what happened in front porches? Today. It's all about today's buildings, today's homes. The old homes used to have big porches all the way around and even sometimes second floor, balconies, not anymore. Why is that? It is a prevailing feeling in our society that homes are meant to be private. So there's no more hospitality. Stay off my door. No solicitors, you know what I mean? You're not welcome. And I think a lot of people want to be private sometimes because they're really not living, some people are not living transparent lives. You know, it's easy to act one way in church, and it's so easy to act another way outside the church. And the reason why some people don't want to have people over their house is because they really don't want to see how they live. Here's another way. And another reason why people don't cheerfully do it, because it interrupts their plans and invades their privacy, it just irritates them. Just plain irritates them. How does it irritate you? Well, it irritates you because now you're tired, right? You're wore out. Your house is not big enough. Your kitchen counter is too small, and you have to clean the place, and now they're going to come over, and you got to vacuum, and it takes at least an hour or two to get things. And unless you're a Better Home and Gardens person, more than likely, it's going to take you a while to get your house straightened up, especially if you got kids, you know? I mean, a sucker stuck to the floor, you know? I mean, sometimes hours of work are necessary before anyone comes to visit. But remember, your home is meant to be lived in, not looked at. That's why it's a home. Instead of being irritated about someone coming over your house, you should be even glad you have a house to where you can invite someone. Depends on how you look at it. Here's another example. Showing hospitality cheerfully. Sometimes people don't do it because it interrupts their plans. It invades their privacy. It irritates them. Sometimes it's just not inexpensive. It's not inexpensive. I don't know about you. Have you noticed the cost of everything's going up? I mean, it's amazing. The cost of food. I'm like, man, I mean, I'm spending $100 more here and there for food. I know my kids are growing, but I mean, it's drastic. I mean, everything's going up. And we all feel the economical crisis lately. And it does cost more to buy food, especially to those who are not your immediate family. You don't mind feeding your wife and kids. But now you got to invite someone else over and feed them and their kids. Yes, it may cost you some of your money to show hospitality, but you know what the Lord will do? The Lord will reward you if you do. In Matthew chapter 10, the Lord says in verse 42, "And whosoever shall give the drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." So according to the word of God, you show hospitality. The word of God says you're going to get a reward. Hospitality is in no way inexpensive to do, but God will reward you. How many of you have ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Corrie Ten Boom? She said that she remembered how her family took strangers in, even though they didn't have much to offer. She said the soup would be a bit watery at times, and sometimes even more watery when people would come over that were unexpected. But mother loved guests, she said, even though the table was already crowded with four children already, three aunts, herself, and Papa. She said her mother would spread her arms wide and say, "You are welcome in our house, and because we are grateful for your coming, we will add a penny to the blessing box for our missionary support." She went on to say years afterward, Corrie Ten Boom said, "On my trips around the world, when I have been dependent upon the hospitality of others, I believe that I've enjoyed the reward for the open doors and hearts of our home." You reap what you sow. You really do. One person said this, that every Christian home is meant to have a door that swings wide open. Now, you're given a hospitality. That's the question. Are you given a hospitality? Are you given a hospitality with a cheerful spirit? And if you're given a hospitality with a cheerful spirit, then when people come to your home, they're going to know it. So how do you know? Let me give you a few reasons, a few examples of people that know whether you have a cheerful spirit. Now, you may smile on the outside, but people know whether or not you want them there. Let me give you a few ways. Letter A, when you have a cheerful spirit about being hospitable, there'll be a relaxing atmosphere. There'll be a relaxing atmosphere. What atmosphere do you have in your home, and do you put off to others when you invite them into your home? Now, I know, and any of you have, if you're honest, you've been to people's houses where you did not feel very welcomed. And I have been to people's homes where I have sat on the edge of the couch with my toes curled up and my calves burning because I'm like, I cannot wait to leave. That's a bad atmosphere. Even though their mat on the front door may have said welcome, their spirit said, when are you leaving? And I can tell you from personal experience, and your pastor was on the road to raise support and so forth like that, that there's nothing like feeling unwelcomed in someone's home. Nothing like it at all. And that's one of the reasons why we bought a fifth wheel. See, people look at our fifth wheel and go, ah, that evangelist, he's got it made. He travels, he sightsees, he gets to stay at campgrounds. No, we got that because of the no hospitality attitude some people had. And my wife would dread it. And it was just drudgery. We would go to the road, we go to people's houses, and they would just, you could tell the pastor put them up to us being there. And we try to stay out of people's hair, but no matter what we did, you know, they didn't want us around. One time we were at someone's house, and our kid was teething. Now, if those of you who had kids, you know what it's like having a kid teething. You know, they start having problems with their bowels when they get their eye teeth, you know, everything, and they're like, nang, 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 you know, they're gumming, they're drooling, they look like they have rabies and so forth. And you know, no matter how much you try to put a sock in it, it's still going to, you know, it doesn't matter if it's muffled or not, it's still going to cry. I'm just joking, but it's still going to cry. So we went to someone's house one time, and this lady was so irritated. I mean, we're trying to do the best we can, or gel, whatever. You know, we're trying to, it's hard on us living on the road. Well, make a long story short, she went up and she went, like that right in my kid's face. Now, I realized right then and there, it's probably getting on our nerves. With us being there. That's just plain rude. So needless to say, we left that day because we felt like we weren't welcomed, amen. But it's just kind of pressure people put on you. We got tired of people being put out by us staying with them. It's not like I stayed there, kicked off my shoes and my socks and started trimming my toenails on their coffee table, you know what I mean? It was like, maybe they were afraid of my toenails, I don't know. But whether or not you realize or not, people really know whether or not you want them in your home. Some folks make you feel at home. And I thank God for that. Some people make you feel welcome. Some people make you feel at home. And others make you feel that you wish you were home. You know, do you remember Martha? Martha and Mary? Do you remember how she was so uptight? I mean, she had Jesus in her house. But she lost the focus of the real reason why she opened her home. And Jesus helped her get refocused. Because he could feel the tension in the air. And listen, you're not going to enter into a Better Homes and Gardens sweepstake. See, you can forget it. The best way for me to describe a relaxing atmosphere to me in someone's home is like when you feel comfortable enough to take off your shoes. When you're in an environment like that where you're like, man, I can really, you know, let down my hair, so to speak, and just relax. There's nothing like it. Letter B, when there's not only a relaxed atmosphere, but when there's a refreshing atmosphere. See, what do you mean a refreshing atmosphere? Well, there's nothing like leaving someone's house where you had a good time. I remember leaving some people's houses where I'm like, I was encouraged. See, whether you realize, I have no ulterior motive as an evangelist. I'm here one day, I'm gone. I'm not looking to dig into your pockets. I'm not asking you to invite me over. I don't care one bit, amen? I'm going to try to be a help to you as a church, okay? So there's no ulterior motive. But I can tell you right now, there's been times where someone's invited us over and I was discouraged. Now, believe it or not, I get discouraged. Now, maybe you don't. Praise the Lord. Pray for me. I get discouraged. And there's times where my wife gets discouraged. And we go over to people's houses and they encourage us. Like, hey, brother, you know, can we get you something to eat? You know, here, we're going to put some steaks on the grill. And they invite us over and have the fruit dish out. And it's just a blessing. My kids can play and my kids can be relaxed. And it's really refreshing. I thank God for the homes where my family and I have left encouraged instead of discouraged. And believe it or not, you can immensely encourage a missionary to come through, okay? You don't know. Your pastor's a blessing because he has that edge A lot of pastors, and I'm not bad-mouthing him, they got no idea what it's like living on the road. He does. So whenever I've been around him, it was like, hey, you know, he's real easy. If you can't get along with him, something's not right with you. But it's easy. You know what I mean? It's an event. I can relax. But some guys, it's like, really uptight. See, what are you getting at? You can immensely encourage someone when you have them over to your house. And I have been in some homes where I have not left happy, but I have left hurt. I have been in people's homes where my wife has literally cried in the person's home. That's messed up. So we got a fifth wheel. Not because we hate God's people, but some of them just hated us, you know, and didn't want to be hospitable. And it was like, do I really want to put my family through this? Do I really want my wife leaving me? Do I want my kids, you know, hating God? So we just got a fifth wheel. Now, I'm just telling you right now, whenever an evangelist comes in, and I'm not, look, I am not mad. Man, last church treated me good. I'm not venting on you. I'm not angry at you. I'm not one of those guys, you got to hold my hand. I'm from Philadelphia. I grew up in the streets. I don't need all that. But I'm telling you, there's some guys that come in that are an evangelist or a missionary. They're discouraged or depressed. Just show some hospitality. Just be friendly. I have been in church where it's like this. I'm not being rude. But pastor will say, go in the back and stand in the back and shake people's hands. I'm okay with that. Okay, you know, I'll shake your hand, whatever. You know what I mean? Don't try to give me a kiss now, but I'll shake your hand, you know? But, you know, I'll talk about the brothers, amen, and sisters too, by the way. I was in Sicily a couple years ago. I'll be flying next month to Sicily for a 10-day tent meeting at Palermo with my son, Lord willing. And over there, the guys greet one another with a kiss. They really do, you know? Not on the mouth, okay? But on the cheek. And so I understand how my wife feels now. My wife would say to me, I like when you're smooth shaved. It doesn't hurt my face. Over there, those guys, the Italians, they got 5 o'clock shadow starts right here. They look like a raccoon, you know? And I say, you know, like, oh, forget it, man, amen. Anyway, I've been in back of churches where the pastor will say, shake someone's hand. Okay, I'll shake the hand, whatever you want to do. And I have watched people. It's hilarious. I mean, it don't bother me. I don't go home and cry about it. I don't care. But it's like they walk right by and they'll do this. Goodbye, pastor. And I'm on the other side. And they'll go. It's like, well, I guess you were offended today. God bless you, sister, amen. But, you know, people, they're just not giving the hospitality. It's just bad spirit. Here's another thing real quickly. When you have a cheerful spirit about hospitality, people will feel respected. They'll feel respected. Publius in Acts chapter 28, verse 7, when he received us, Paul says, and lodged us 3 days courteously, he showed hospitality in a courteous manner to Paul after he was shipwrecked. And there's nothing like being at someone's house and being given a drink with an attitude. I mean, you're there, your lips are pasty white, and you're smacking the tongue to the roof of the mouth, and you're like dying of thirst, and it's like 95 degrees out, and the humidity index is 180. And you're there, and it's like, you say, you know, could I have something to drink? And it's like throw it at you like you're, you know, down in the dungeon or something, you know what I mean? Or slide it through the door to you. It's like, you know what? It's, you know, it can have a knife, and they throw it at you, you know what I mean? Whatever. This is Barnum and Bailey Circus, you know? All right, number three, and I'm almost done. In order to show hospitality, you're going to have to show charity. You're going to have charity. We live in a very uncharitable society because of an increase in sin. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And as sin increases, so does the spirit of selfishness. And people today love one thing, themselves. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Moi, me. And the Bible says, this know also that in the last days, last time, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. It is easy to become tired of having to welcome the new person, welcome the neighbor, and having a servant's attitude. And in order to have a servant's attitude and to show hospitality, you know what you need? Charity. 1 Corinthians 13, whole chapter dedicated to it. And what do we Baptists do? We mock it, make fun of it, stay away from it, say it's liberal because the charismatics preach it. Nevertheless, it's still in there. Charity seeketh not her own. Forgetting self will require you to have charity in your heart. Serving others will require you to have charity in your heart. And when you love people, it doesn't matter what kind of house you have or what's on the menu, because hospitality will be shown. Let me give you an example of what I mean. When I was in Africa as a missionary, I would go over to these poor people's houses, the poor black people's houses, that made no more than $150 a month. And I would go in there and I would preach for them at these churches, and they would give me the best they had. And I was under such conviction. Here I am realizing that it cost them a lot of money to do that. And they never one time said, hey, we're black. Hey, we're poor. Hey, why don't you help us out? Never did that. And I really felt humble. I was like, man, these people really opened their home to me to feed me their best when they didn't have it. When you have a charitable spirit, that will make people feel, charitable spirit, it'll make people feel constrained to stay instead of compelled to leave. I want to ask you, do you make people feel welcome to your home and loved? And last of all, I want to say this and I'm done. You know what else it does? It creates companionship. It creates companionship. You say, what do you mean it creates companionship? Showing hospitality creates a friendly atmosphere, not only in the home, but also in the church. One person said, hospitality is an expression of inclusion, including others in the kind of care that reflects a common bond. Friendships are formed from hospitality that is shown. And when no one takes out the time in this church to show hospitality to someone who's on this side of the church, you will not have a friendly atmosphere. And I don't care what your preacher preaches about kindness or charity or whatever it may be. If you guys don't care for one another, you're not going to care about strangers that come in like evangelists or missionaries or visitors. You're not going to care one bit. My wife and I, we used to have new converts over in South Africa. And we used to do that, and it caught on to others. Then they started inviting others over. When's the last time you invited another church member over to your house? When's the last time you invited someone over to your house who was a visitor? Hey, you got a visitor that comes? Why don't you say, hey, look, we're going to Cracker Barrel. Or, hey, look, we're going to Bob Evans. We're really glad you came today. You know what? Would you like to come with us? What would that do? So why not invite them? Say, it's going to cost me money. Well, you'll spend money on a Blu-ray DVD. What's more worthy investment, a soul or a DVD? If newcomers cannot find several friends in a church within 6 or 7 weeks, they'll leave. I wonder if that's why a lot of people leave our Bible-believing churches. People go to the church that's dearest to them and not the church that's nearest to them. Have you a hospitable spirit in your church? If you don't, it's because you're not hospitable in your own home. Why not start learning to be hospitable today? Why not start inviting people over to your home once in a while? Will you apply this message to your home and church? Will you tell people by not only your words, but by your actions, that they can make themselves at home? All right, let's pray. Lord, I love you. Thank you for an opportunity to teach your word about hospitality. I pray that everyone here will take it to heart and think about it and pray about it. And Lord, have a hospitable spirit towards one another, whether it's visitors, strangers, whether they're black, whether they're white, whether they're Asian, whether they're old, whether they're young, whether they stink, whether they're clean. Lord, I just pray, God, that people would feel welcomed in this church with one another and visitors, and also be welcoming people to their home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.